Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is Customizing Reports in WebSphere Business Modeler. Today's presenter is Benjamin Bertel. Benjamin has provided Level 2 support for IBM WebSphere Business Modeler, Monitor, and Compass for 2 years. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Benjamin.
Thank you, Joseph, and welcome everybody to the presentation today about customizing reports in IBM WebSphere Business Modeler. So we'll switch to slide number 2, which contains the agenda for today's session. And basically, I will give you a short introduction into reports and the predefined reports that are coming with Modeler. And I'll explain something about the data sources, field views, and some special fields and groups. And at the very end, I will give a short introduction into how to debug a reports field. So we can switch to slide number 3. So basically, reports can be used for summarizing different aspects of a business process. So they can be used to give a quick overview. For example, how many business items do we have in our projects, or how many tasks does our business process have? But reports can also be used to document more detailed information. So we can get very detailed descriptions about business items or about processes, tasks, and other resources in very depth. And basically, reports are mainly used to provide printouts or, well, PDF files, which you can then later on print out, to get a good overview of a modeled process. So what kind of reports can we use? We'll switch to slide number 4. So basically, Modeler comes with a lot of predefined reports. So you don't need to create reports from scratch, but you can, first of all, use those predefined reports. And those predefined reports, they basically work on different aspects of your project. So there are, for example, some predefined documentation reports, which are then, for example, reporting on data, which is like, for example, business items, but it can also report on your processes or on simulation settings. So if you're creating a simulation of a process, you can document your settings that you took for the simulation within a report. Then we have reports on dynamic analysis. So once you have run a simulation, you can do a dynamic analysis on the results of that simulation. And you can then, after that, create a report on those results. Also, there are reports available for the history. So, for example, if you are versioning your model using CVS or ClearCase, you can create a report that contains the history of certain elements. And last but not least, there's reports on static analysis. So, for example, if you want to know how long a resource might be available in your process between a certain time span, then you can do a static analysis and create a report on that. So since we can report on a lot of different aspects of our model, it's important to understand that we need to use different data sources. And we'll go to slide number 5 for that. So basically, when you're choosing a predefined report, you need to make sure that you are choosing one that uses the right data. So if you want to report on your processes, you would choose a different report than if you want to report on your business items, for example. So the different reports that you can use, they are using different data sources. And when you're creating a new report template from scratch, you will need to select the data source. And if you're choosing a predefined report, then that already has the right data source attached. So basically, data sources are XML files, which are then generating once the report is being run. And Now you might think, okay, what exactly is that XML file and what's the data behind that? And we'll go to slide number 6. Because there I've shown you where you can enable the generation of that XML file and how to save that. So you can actually save the XML file, which is being generated once you run a report. And then you can open that with your favorite text editor. And you can have a look at the actual data that is behind that. So these XML files, they can get very large. If you are making a very detailed report on a huge process, then this XML file will be huge as well. And that's why I didn't give an example at this point. I'll give a shortened, very much shortened example later on in this presentation. So this XML file, it contains data. And the question is, of course, how does the data then come into your report? And we'll go to slide number 7. And basically, what you're doing in your report is you're arranging data. And one way to do that is using the fields view, which is one of my favorite views in Modeler to create reports, because it shows your available data for the selected data source. So you don't need to wonder what data do I have available. You can use the fields view. This can be enabled via a right click in your report editor, and then you go to show and fields view. And basically, this view allows you to drag and drop fields onto your report to edit them later. So you can also use that view to change your report's data source. So you just right-click on the top-level element in that view, on the data field, and there you can select the actual data source that you want to use. And also, this view allows you to define parameter fields. So, for example, if you are having an address field in your report because you want to print it out and mail it to someone, then the address might change depending on when you run the report. So you would add a parameter field, and this parameter field can then be defined during the time that you're running your report. So when you're generating your report, Modeler will automatically ask you for that field. So it will ask you for the data that you want to fill into that field. And basically, there are two very important types of fields, which I will give you a quick introduction into on slide number 8. And basically, that's the data and the summary fields. So most of the fields that you can drag and drop are basically data fields. So unlike static text fields, which you can also drag and drop into your report, they contain the actual generated data. So a static text field will only contain a text that you will write in there, and every time you generate a report, it will have that same text. But with a data field, basically the text that is being displayed will change based on the data that is being used. So when you have a look at the properties view of a data field, you will see what I've shown on this slide in the screen capture. You will see the data field path, and that actually contains an XPath value to the data that you want to use. So that comes into play at a later point when we want to debug any issues with that. And the other field that is important is the data field name. Basically, when you first drag and drop a field into your report, the data field name and the data field path will be very similar. But you can put anything you want into the data field name without breaking your report. So when you're having a look in your outline view, or basically when you're creating the report, you're looking at your report editor, the text that is in the data field name, that's the one that will be displayed in your editor. So you might want to change that to some dummy data so that you can get a good overview of how your report would look like once you generate it. Basically, the other important field is a summary field. So that's kind of a special data field because it not only displays the data, but first it aggregates the data. So, for example, it allows you to sum up the number of business items or build an average on the cost of your resources. So basically, you can drag and drop a data field into your report, and you can specify the data field path manually if you're basically educated enough to use XPath. But as a hint, I would always recommend to use field view to drag and drop the fields. So I've just put it here again because that's the recommended way, because you will get the correct XPath automatically, and you can fine-tune that later on if you want. So we'll switch to slide number 9, where I will give you a short introduction into groups. So groups are an interesting concept in the report because they allow you to iterate over items that can occur several times in your process or basically in your whole model. So some items, for example, the name of a process, can only occur once because every process has exactly one name. But for example, tasks can occur more often. So a process might have no tasks, or it might contain just one, or it might contain 10 tasks. So in the field view, you can hover over an actual item and you can see how often this field might occur. So for example, a task has a field occurrence of 0 or more. And you can think of using the groups as kind of a loop in programming. So you're actually saying, okay, I want to iterate over all the tasks that I have in my process. And then for each task that you're iterating over, the field that you are creating within the group will be repeated for every one item. And you can always access the current item using the current function in your XPath. So, for example, it would be current/classifier/classifier value/assname in order to get the classifier value for the current task that you're iterating over. So one more thing that I thought would be very useful to highlight in this presentation, I will explain on slide number 10, and that's when you're using groups, you might want to sort the elements that you're iterating over. So if you have a process that contains a lot of tasks and you're using a group to report on all of the tasks, then the order in which those elements occur might seem to be rather random, because by default, you do not have the sorting enabled, but you can actually specify the sorting for the group. So in the example that I gave you on this slide, I have sorted by classifier values first and then task names. So that would be useful if you have a process with a lot of tasks, and some of these tasks have a classifier value that tells you that those tasks are the most important ones, and then other tasks have a classifier value that shows you that these tasks are less important. And you can actually do a sorting in your report. So, for example, you might want to have the more important ones first. So you will sort by the classifier value. And that way you will have the most important tasks first and then the less important ones. And to also sort within that order, you can add a second sort by field and say, okay, I want to sort by task name, for example. Okay, we will switch to slide number 11. And that's another thing I wanted to mention quickly because it might go missed otherwise, and that's the report style masters. So the report style master allows you to specify, for example, a header and a footer, which will then be used on all of your report pages. So that way you don't need to specify it manually for each page again. And if you're doing a change to it, you will need to change it on all pages. But you will only need to define your header and footer once, and then you can apply this master to your existing report template. Okay, let's switch to slide number 12. And that will give you a short example of debugging a report's fields. So, for example, if you're running a report and you actually notice that a field that you have defined in your report does not show the desired value that you wanted to have in there, you can, first of all, enable the generation of the XML data source, as shown before, and then you can open that XML and you can compare it with the XPath for that specific field. And one of the main sources for why sometimes a field does not show the desired value is because that data might actually not exist in the XML. And that's the point where you might consider using a different data source that then would contain the data that you want to use. Because not all data sources contain all the data about the whole project itself. So we'll switch to slide number 13. And that's showing a shortened and collapsed example of such a report XML file. And at the bottom of that slide, I've given you the XPath to the classifier value. So if you want, for example, to report on one task and want to show its classifier value within your report, the XPath would first go to the model element in the XML, and then it would traverse down that tree via the process model and then all of the processes, and it will select the first process. And within that process, it will go into the flow content, and one of the flow content items will be a task, and that task, again, has a classifier, and that classifier has a classifier value. And this value has an attribute, which is the name. So that's how you would build up, basically, that data. And if you're noticing that your report might not contain that data, you can have a look at the XML, and you can try to traverse the tree manually and see where it might fail and whether an element that you want to report on is actually existent in that XML. Okay, we'll switch to slide number 14. We'll give you a short summary. So basically, reports, they can be used to give a quick summary or a detailed view over your processes and your business items and basically your whole project that you have created in Modeler. And it's always good to use the predefined reports as a starting point because they help you to understand how the reports are working. And if you're having any trouble, try to use the generated data source XML as a reference to see what data you can access. Okay, on slide number 15, I'm giving you some links to further reading. So if you have downloaded the presentation, you can actually click those links. So the first link is link to the Information Center for Modeler and to the specific topic of producing those reports. And the second one is the webcast replay of creating custom reports in WebC Business Modeler that was held last year. So that also gives a lot of information, different information from this year's WFTE session, and you might want to just listen to that replay as well. And the third link is to the IBM Education Assistant topic of reports and printing. So that's a short video containing a lot of information, again, about reports and printing. And the fourth link is basically a link to all the IBM DeveloperWorks resources on XPath. So if you want to look into XPath and want to understand how XPath actually works, you might want to go there, and you will have plenty of resources available. So we'll switch to slide 16. And this chart includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. So visit the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site to learn more about upcoming WebSphere Support Technical Exchange webcasts, like the one you attended today, and access previously recorded presentations. DeveloperWorks offers in-depth technical information, and visit WebSphere.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up the learning curve quickly. The SR tool is for PetFood Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. And the My Notifications link on all product support pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you. So we'll switch to slide 17. And I'll hand over to Joseph again.
Thank you, Benjamin, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Marsha, we would like to open the lines for questions.
No questions are populating.
Thank you, Marsha. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.